Okay, welcome everybody. The Nostradamus Show on location, sunny South Florida. The show, you never can tell where it's going to come from. You know? Next we might be in space, I don't know. But I was very excited to be able to have this guest that's going to be on the show. He's very gripping, very gracious to me and my family down here in Florida, where I've doing new work, and he's been extremely hospitable to me. So I'm just excited to have him on the show. He is the CEO and founder of Home Doctor Network, and also the CEO and founder of Truth Management. And I'd like you to take it away right now, Michael. Tell us what you do, why you do it, and why it's important today, especially with the way things seem to be going with pandemics and control, and nobody wants to drive or whatever. But go ahead and take it away, Michael.
And that's a great point, Tom. I appreciate the introduction and everything. And telehealth today has really, you know, taken to the sky, you know, due to like with COVID, everybody afraid to go out there and make appointments with their physicians, their doctors, even the hospitals. So, you know, telehealth has been around for many, many years now, but nobody has really taken full advantage of it. A lot of individuals don't even realize that their medical insurance coverage actually covers telehealth and the extent of the telehealth that it actually covers. So we're able to actually provide different avenues for hospitals, for DMEs, for laboratories, and for pharmacies. And we act as a management service organization where we oversee all administration, the distribution of, and the marketing of their actual services and products and everything else too. So it's really taken off in the past year especially, but in the past 10 years, we've been running the genetic testing and everything else where individuals can have the cardiovascular genetic test done to see if they're actually predisposed to heart conditions. A lot of individuals think that just because they have high blood pressure that it's genetic. And, you know, my whole anger is with big pharma companies, these doctor's offices and everything else, to where, you know, you go in there and you look at Americans today, you know, we all know that we overeat, we're gluttons. And by just changing our diet, the vast majority of individuals that have gone to the doctors and been diagnosed pre-diabetic or diabetic, a simple change in diet, lifestyle, environment could be that simple fix. You know, so when you're able to, you know, run a genetic test and see if you're actually predisposed to a certain condition or if you could just change your diet. Because, you know, a lot of the diabetics are being prescribed metformin, let's say, and it's actually creating you as a diabetic. Because what happens is our body's natural inhibitors and things like that, how it breaks down the glucose, the sugars of our bodies, the carbs and everything else, that medication does that. The same with many medications that we take, same thing with high blood pressure, to where if you eliminate stress out of your life, different environments, you could cure high blood pressure. I don't want to use the word cure or anything like that. You know, there's no money in cure, Tom. But
better watch what you're saying there.
I already know, right? But, you know, the genetic testing, it lets you know if you're actually predisposed, because, you know, medicine itself today is wanting to aim at preventative measures, to where if I can sit here and take action today, that's going to benefit my longevity is one thing. But if I'm able to actually run a genetic test and prolong the longevity of my siblings, my children, and, you know, notify my parents that, hey, you may want to go get tested as well, too, because, you know, if we are genetically predisposed to certain conditions, you know, cardiovascular disease and cancers and every other deadly disease out there, we have the testing for Alzheimer's, dementia, autism, cancer, cardiovascular, PGX, which is an adverse drug reaction panel. We have Ticey's. I don't want to mispronounce that one. It's the Jewish gene, to where they have the eyesight and everything else can lead to blindness and everything else. But we have the whole spectrum. We actually have hearing genetic testing that can be done, eyesight and everything else too. So, I mean, the list goes on to where if you can actually prevent somebody's life from actually progressing forward and actually catching it while they're in their youth, I mean, it's a blessing. It really is. It's really changing modern medicine today. You know, we also provide different things as far as remote patient monitoring. So I'm trying to get the contracts with the VA as well to where, you know, the blood pressure kits, the glucose monitors and everything else can be sent out to the veterans, but actually monitoring them. You know, you see that with hospitals, the VA especially, you know, gets a bad rap. And it's not that the VA doesn't want to administer care for the veterans. It's they're so understaffed. You can't take 200 veterans in need and have one staff member to provide them the proper care that, you know, they deserve or that they in fact need. So with, you know, our remote patient monitoring and readmission prevention, you know, we actually work with the hospitals to help with the patients, follow up with their treatment care, make sure that they picked up their medications, taking their medications properly, changing their dressings or whatever else the treatment plan may have been laid out by that physician or the release coordinator. And I don't want to, you want me to switch over to the Truth Knowledge Management Group as well, or you want to touch base or have any questions on Home Doctor or?
What I think is amazing is the foundation of this, how it came to be, and just a little bit. I just want the viewers to know a little bit about your background, that, you know, the work that you put into getting this thing together. And it to me, when I watch you do it, it's unfathomable what you put together in a lot of the foundational work, which people, you know, people tend to have not a whole lot of patience. They're not doctors. They don't have a whole lot of patients. Yeah. But I mean, to sit and they put that together. He doesn't have a whole lot of patients with me, but he does have a lot of patients putting this together. So I just thought maybe give a little background how you did it. It's quite amazing. I don't think you're. I mean, you've done it, so it doesn't seem as amazing. But I'm watching it, and
I'm just trying to stay humble.
I don't know about that, but go ahead.
So it's, you know, a lot of it, it's really my personal background. You know, the initial part with telehealth was because of the mental health aspect of what I was targeting everything. You know, my childhood growing up, school, I mean, just the hell that I went through as a child and the hell that I placed others through. And it really wasn't me trying to cause others that little downslip, which is me lashing out because of the misery that I myself was living in. And October 2nd of 2006, my wife was murdered. And, you know, I was bitter for a very long time. And, you know, I just came to the realization one time that nobody wakes up and, you know, nobody wakes up wanting to go rob, rape, murder. There's an underlying cause as to why individuals make that decision to get up in the morning and go out there and live the lifestyle that they live. You know, and a lot of us sit there and believe that, oh, that's bullshit. You know, people can make decisions to get out of their environment. But unless you fix that underlying cause, it's not going to be fixed. And that was...
I've listened to a lot of your, you can tell people where to go on the website to listen to, you know, a lot of the things that you put together and why you put together and the things that motivate people and why they motivate people, and truly a professional speaker. I mean, because a lot of it's really motivating. Your poems that you've written and everything. I mean, there's just no
keep that secret.
I'm sorry, I said that. We can retract that. But anyways,
somebody needs to know a poet.
I think it's fascinating that people put limitations on themselves, and then your story that we won't go into all of it, but you have no excuses is basically what you're telling people in a lot of those videos. To me, it's stop the excuse wheel, stop it. You know, get your ass working. But
and that's 100% of what it is too. It's like, you know, I've been, say hi guys.
Hi.
But I mean,
that's a lot of draft sneakers. I mean, you can't even go to Florida now. I went from Ohio to Florida to get away from all
they
of
still
it.
See you.
They're still recognizing it.
But I mean, you nailed it on the head though. When it's, you know, a lot of times people don't know how to take my brashness, or they get aggravated when I'm trying to direct them towards something. But I'm always trying to push individuals up. You know, that's why I have that little hashtag, Man of Positive Influence. You know, everything I do is always about the betterment of the next individuals. That's my only happiness. You know, seeing another individual succeed, seeing another individual thrive or reach their dreams and be able to fulfill any kind of careers or dreams that they themselves, you know, held for themselves. And I don't tolerate bullshit, if you will, or excuses, if you will. I was sleeping under a bridge for 2.5 fucking years. So I'm sitting where I'm at today. Apologize about my language. I'm a little passionate, but, you know, and it's just that, you know, I don't sit there and say that, hey, if I can do it, anybody can, but that is the mentality that I have every day. You know, I've caused a lot of people, I'm not going to say direct harm, but just in my ignorance and my lack of care back then, it did kind of, you know, take that ripple effect. And I just try to, you know, boost everybody else forward. And people are like, oh, I can't, I have it bad. Well, okay, well, when I lay the ground steps for everything else and I'm providing you everything you need, I'm paying for everything you need, I'm laying the whole program out for you, I'm putting the systems in place, and you still tell me that you can't do it, it's because that it's really not the career or the lifestyle for you. And that's where a lot of people get trapped, because it's the, we all want to be accepted, whether by our employer or by our friends, by our families, and we find ourselves, you know, just drowning in that, where it's the, okay, I'll do it just to be accepted by you, when it's bullshit, you know. And a lot of employers, they do that, and they, you know, thrive on us and try to pry us to sit there and subdue the government does it to us. The whole mask mandate, right, everything else that's happening.
And we're living in the age of excuses. So again, that comes into play here. Might not have come into play in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, or any of those decades, but it sure comes into play now, because everybody has a reason why they're not successful. There's always some scapegoat, some reason. My parents, my sister, my boss hates me, the school hated me, bullies were picking on me, blah, blah, blah. I might go into a Bill Burr comedy act here in a minute. But seriously, it is that kind of story, because you could have easily sat around and felt sorry for yourself.
Yeah, it's my happiness. You know, and a lot of people ask me why I do what I do, but that's really the only way I smile, is seeing other people flourish, other people smile. And, you know, a lot of times I do say that I do it without expectation, but I mean, I do have an expectation. I do expect, you know, people to take the gift that I've given them, or the guidance that I've given them, the friendships I've given them, and make the most of it. Okay. Yeah. Maybe you don't have to utilize it to the extent that I would, but at least take pride in the provisions and, you know, try to find your way along. You know, look at your hobbies, your interests. You'll find a career path. You'll find a reason to get out there and do that. You know, and if somebody has an excuse of why not to do something, they just simply haven't lost enough. You know, and it goes with like all the other little self-help programs where people say that I hit rock bottom. You know, sometimes life itself, unless you fall flat on your face, you're not going to find a reason to get up and be successful. And just like you just said about that, everybody has an excuse not to be successful. And that's really all it boils down to, is the simple fact that they really haven't failed enough. They tried enough, and they might have something that they might have mom and dad taking care of them. They might have some other like little financials coming in that they just really haven't progressed forward. And that's really what I do with True College Management Group as well, too, is going in, providing those certain insights, providing that knowledge, whether it be the schools, institutions, businesses, or anything else. You know, I do a true assessment. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything.
Yeah, you're not good at sugarcoating. It's one of your weaknesses. But
I'll work at Baskin Robbins.
But I mean, let me just say this, because people talk a good game. You can look all over Facebook where people are saying they, you know, want to help people. I have been a witness of a guy spending a lot of his time helping somebody else get successful and not expecting anything in return. It's hard, though, when you're giving and in a different way, giving when you're on top of the world, giving, helping, and then as soon as you need some help or you fall on some hard times, oh, you can't do anything for me now? Oh, well, then, yeah, a bunch of excuses start flying up. So I've been in the same game, just in a different aspect, but I understand how it works. And I don't expect in return. I expect a thank you or whatever if you had a good night because I helped you with seats or whatever, just acknowledge that I did that is good enough for me. I'm not looking for anything back. I'm just looking to have fun through you and your family, or being able to bless you with things that I've been able to have that I was blessed with for a lot of years. So I do understand where that comes from.
100%. That's like, you know, a lot of people take what you do for granted, Tom. You know, and it's one of the reasons why, you know, I've reached out to you on numerous occasions, you know, just to kind of acknowledge that, you know, if nobody else is acknowledging it, or if you think that everything you're doing is for nothing, it really isn't, you know, and that's really what's important too, is like, and that's where a lot of people truly lose their breath, or they really lose that drive that they have, because it's not really self-driven. It's based on the pats on the back, or the acknowledgments, or that, or the attaboys that everybody's seeking. And it becomes dangerous, because it's like, if I'm doing things for that acknowledgement of another person, if I'm waiting on somebody else to acknowledge me, I'm sitting up. Exactly. You know, and it's that, and that's where a lot of people call me a hypocrite. Well, you do things without expectation. Why are you looking for an acknowledgement? At least to know that somebody's benefiting from what I actually put forth. That's my gig, is that, you know, I want to know that what I'm doing is truly benefiting somebody. And I mean, and I know that, so I really don't need that reassurance, but it's a slap in the face when, you know, people come around when they're in their down times, and all of a sudden they disappear. I've built businesses for individuals. They were living in fucking scraps. Excuse my language, I do apologize. But... and just guided them towards what they're doing, you know, but it's... but, you know, it's like I provide them with... I write the business plan, fund the business. I write them business, and they just follow it through. That's all they have to do. And they did that. I send them Christmas cards, birthday cards, Thanksgiving cards for their kids. It's everything else. I don't expect cards in return, but it's the, I can't even get a simple phone call to say, hey, man, I just wanted to see how everything's going. I'm doing well. You know, it's just, it is deflating to me. You know, it's crucifying, actually, but it's no gig. So I just sit there and I just turn it on to the next individual, to where I'm able to give to the next individual and not be, you know, I'm not going to say hateful or anything like that, but in the same sense, it's, I do get kind of bitter.
Shut down and stop helping.
Well, I'll never stop doing that, though. But
which is really why I really skipped on my God, because I'd have to flood every week.
Hey, really even hard. God burned up cities, you know? Whoops, let's try it again.
Yep, here we go again, building another ark every week. I don't understand this, I don't get it.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just that, you know, one thing's led to another, and I do believe in, like, you know, positive energy begetting positive energy, you know, positive energy amongst individuals. I don't care what religion somebody is, I don't care what sect or anything else. If an individual is a good person and they put off positive energy to the next individual, that next individual is going to pass that on to the next, their families, their coworkers, and everything else in between. If you're just an asshole, it's going to continue to breed that. You're going to get what, you know, assholes get, and that's excrement. I'll keep that word clean for you.
Thank you for that.
But it's one of the things that kind of just drew me to you, as far as, you know, the different positive outreach, but in the same sense, the not just saying things to say them and having meaning behind that. That's the whole thing that drew me to you, is the fact that you just lay it out as it is. You're not just taking the popular opinion or the popular vote and saying, oh, yeah, hey, that's what I'm going to do, too. It's the, well, hey, no, that's not what's right. This is what's right. And then sometimes we have these blind individuals out there. And I don't say that in a derogatory way, but a lot of people, you don't know what you know unless you're told. So that's my big problem with media, and that's why I take pride in the Truth Knowledge Management Group, because, you know, what is truth to an individual? And that's why my acronym for truth is the reality under the headline. You know, who are we really? Am I like this with you just because you and I are sitting right here right now, Tom? Am I like this with my parents, or am I a chameleon and I'm a different person? And I mean, I'm a different person to the mirror. You know, I mean, so many individuals live like that, to where you ask somebody who they are They can't defend themselves. Hey, give me a good quality about yourself. Oh, I don't know. And it's sad, you know, and it's just, we just want to do what the next individual is doing, or exactly what the popular crowd is doing. And that's so aggravating. And you see it in our government today. And it's just, that's a whole different topic that I'm going to let you take off with.
It's right in front of our face, but we really don't see it. Look at Afghanistan.
Now, great example.
And you don't see that what's going on
here. Now, look, you made a mistake, Joe. I know you don't know where you're at or what your name is, but somebody should have at least told you by now that was a bad move, taking the people with weapons out first and leaving the people that can't defend themselves sitting in Afghanistan. Now look, even Jimmy Carter came out when he blew it a couple times, and Bay of Pigs, and I can go on the Cuban missile. The presidents usually come out, take ownership in a couple hours, and then move on as a leader. See, that word leader, we don't have one right now. We have somebody that's weakened at Bernie's. I don't even know if he's alive anymore. He just comes out in a press conference, and what's he do? He talks about masks and COVID. When people are sitting there wanting to know what's going on with Afghanistan, he turned around and walked out. What the? I mean,
bleep.
I mean, we're just in this where there's absolutely no reality in anything that's going on. Okay, there's nothing. I mean, how is the head of your company, Pfizer, how does he not want to take his own vaccine?
That's a great point.
Shouldn't that bother you?
The largest producer, Pfizer, the CEO won't take their own vaccine. That's convincing to me. That's like, oh, y'all should take
that. And
how do you know that they're not going to, you know, they do that. They mask around on TV, you know, sitting around in front of the camera. Okay, go ahead, give me the shot.
Yeah.
How does anybody even know that's not even water and placebo?
They're giving you a shot of colored water.
I'm getting the vaccine, watch.
Well, I'm going to tell you, because the name of this show is not Thomas, I'm going to tell you right now, I said this, March 2020, this is the pregame for the Super Bowl. This is all just a big test run to see how stupid, and as I sit here and people drive by with their masks on, this becomes really simple at some point, because we're a bunch of idiots. So all I'm saying is, if you think this is just something, oh well, this is the setup for the fake power outages and the food supply is down, so you need this mark or this thing or whatever to get food. Bro, I'm telling you right now, it's shaping up to those movies my parents made me sit through in church in 1970, whatever, as a kid, watching these end of days. It's happening right now. And if you think it's not, you might want to dust off that King James Version and get back in Revelation. Because it is. And I'm not a doomsday guy, and I laugh at all these dates that they give. Today's the end of the
Mad Max guy.
But I do know that there are signs, and we're seeing them. So I just, it's just amazing, though, how much we'll let go for the sake of just being quiet. So, well, that's, you know, right. I get on Facebook.
Individuals that sit there and complain about you not wearing your mask, it's like, well, if your mask works, why is it? You know, why do I got to be wearing a mask if your mask works? If you're vaccinated, why do I need my mask?
But they don't even get. Then they don't give you any numbers on herd immunity. If you had it, you're 8 times more likely not to get it. None of that comes up in any of these conversations. None of it.
I don't think they have any facts. It's just one of the things where they just want
on purpose. They have a study for how long it takes a mouse to climb a hill, okay? But this, all of a sudden, we don't have any data, nothing on them, just kind of shooting from the hip. But, you know, when Trump started the vaccine, how many things did you show me when he had the vaccine going? Everybody going, who's going to take that? That's not done. There's no research done now. That's craziness. I'm not taking it. And then they take his vaccine and then make you out to be the idiot because you haven't taken it yet. But they're right on screen saying that. Here we are in the age of, it's right there, I'm saying it, but I'm really not saying it. That's where we are. It's not really simple. The media will just cover it up so we can just say whatever.
And that's it. You know, God forbid that the same individuals are asking you for your vaccine card, vaccination card or whatever, that you ask them to see their HIV or hepatitis immunization.
Let me see
or
your list. Let me see.
you really see your drug screen. You did all the employees and the drug screen that's fixing my food and everything else. Right. You know, it's just, it sounds stupid, but think about that. I mean, it's a violation of your medical records. It's like, you know, it's nothing to you if I'm vaccinated or not. You know, I mean, it's, and then everybody wants to argue about the, well, when kids are going to school, they got to have their measles vaccine.
It's not the same thing. Well, any of that actually was actually compared to, you're comparing a flu 99.8 survivable up against polio. Now that's just ignorant.
Only 1% of you is gonna.
Yeah. And you have a bigger chance of getting hit by a lightning bolt than dying from COVID.
But we're gonna wrap ourselves in bubble wrap
in the corner and wait for the next variant or whatever.
Delta.
What we do now. The Delta. What's next? TWA next. Spirit Airlines. We have the new Sky Blue variant.
The Afghani variant.
It's coming up like hurricane names. This is going down the list of airlines. Delta, what's next? You know, believe it or not, we're not making light of people getting sick. But you know, if we're going to do that, more chance of getting a car wreck, so maybe they should just ride their bike and not get their license. I mean, this is a slippery slope that could go on forever. Somebody might get hurt. I mean, what about the person driving down the road and the tree falls on them? Now, what kind of luck is that, A? Now, you got to really be in a bad spot when you get the car that goes by and gets hit by a falling tree. There's some bad luck, but that's... Whew. So, I mean, life is just what it is. There's always going to be risks, and there's going to be a chance tomorrow doesn't come for you. Nobody ever promised a single soul tomorrow. Nowhere. I don't think I can hear you. No, I didn't do that on purpose. Your microphone's working.
Can you hear me?
I've used that one. Oh, but he's back. We had that.
I really think it was unplugged.
But what were you saying again? I kind of like that. That should tell you something about Dr. Mike. He's got a phone going off here with messages from the dark side. Are you back with us now?
I'm trying to figure it out now. I don't think it is.
No, you're good. I can hear you now.
Okay, there it is.
Perfect. Start charging admission. These people keep coming through my show.
Keep it moving.
Yeah, hurry up. Get out of here.
We're live on set. Keep it moving.
You think you just sit and stare at us? That costs money. A lot of technical stuff going on here. It costs a lot of money. Go ahead.
How to reserve the spot.
Yeah, we told the other guy to
get out of here.
We did say that. He goes, what, you doing something? Yeah, could you please move your stuff? Please? I said please.
I need the spot.
Yeah, we need the spot. It's a big show. Don't ask questions. You could be one of our roadies.
Meanwhile, I'm moving my camera around 500 times.
There you go.
I get that money shot. It's not that kind, but you know what I mean.
How about we could talk a little bit about my flight problems for 2 hours?
Spirit Airlines.
I'll give you some advice.
Nobody's business.
I don't care how much a Spirit ticket is. I don't care if it's $5. It's going to end up costing you a ton of time and a lot more money. So you're better off riding a bike, hitchhiking, getting on a bus than to go fly Spirit. I had some great conversations that I hope they taped when I was yelling at Julio today.
Down at the schoolyard?
Yeah. He said that wasn't his name. I said, I've got some other names then I can call you.
You didn't like Julio.
It was ridiculous. I mean, how many times did you actually book that flight? Did it twice?
It was no.
Three.
I booked enough flights for a whole NFL team and still didn't have a flight when I was done.
Hey, and then they only booked like one flight instead of two or like whatever. It's like, yeah. Oh my God, man. It's
then
like,
I buy tickets and then they transfer me at the end of the transaction to somebody that has no idea what I'm talking about.
Then they didn't even give you credit.
And then they buy one seat on the plane when I bought two, and then told me I could get 20 cents back with a laugh. 20 cents. He actually laughed. And how do you think that went? Let's go move on to something else. There we go. Michael.
I was kind of liking that spirit conversation.
Yeah, well, it's starting to give me flashbacks.
Starting to get like aneurysms going and everything else.
You know what? I mean, think about your job as customer service, and that's the
I understand, sir. Sir, I understand.
Yeah. I understand. That's a tough break. Anyways, you owe us money now from these mistakes.
Hey, look how my Joe's looking back, so he's about to run into
keep going.
So, how long
have you been? I actually bought pizza down here with a store that if you walk in with a mask, they won't serve you. I'm not kidding you. They told the guy to get out.
Phil's Heavenly Pizza.
Phil's Heavenly Pizza. If you have a mask on, get the hell out.
Literally.
He's under Yelp with all these people complaining about it.
Man, that is awesome.
And that's what made me go buy the pizza, was those Yelp complaints. And then I sent them some messages under Yelp. We won't get into that, but go ahead.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize like how beneficial reviews are. I mean, some people do make some ignorant reviews and everything else, but you know, true reviews, like with Spirit Airlines, it's like, you know, their flights are that cheap for a reason. You know, yeah. I mean, they've been canceling flights, not just delaying flights, but canceling them altogether. And you know, what if individuals have, you know, families to get back to? I mean, shit, right. you know, your daughter was having a baby. You know, I mean, it's like,
I mean, they don't even take that into account. I mean, they delayed my flight 2 hours and act like that was no big deal. I said that probably wouldn't have been that big of a deal, but when you delayed it into the next day, that's,
you know, that was
big
no big deal.
Deal.
It's like they don't think about a rental car where once you hit midnight, yeah. That's another day.
My car's sitting in a parking airport parking area. I mean, those aren't issues at all. If you have a rental car, a hotel room, they don't care. Well, unfortunately, I'm going to care. So.
You see, and that's the thing, like with healthcare as well, too.
Yeah.
Going back to like the whole telehealth thing, what it is that I do, to where you know, these doctors, how much of them actually spend time with you and actually spend towards your actual care? You know, it's the come in there and get you out of there. A lot right. of people complain about it, but I mean, who spends the vast majority of time with you? It's the nursing care, it's the nursing triage, the receptionist, anybody else. And after they've done all your vitals and everything else, the doctor comes in and looks at you for what, 3 minutes? Hey, this is what's wrong with you. Here's a script. Get out of here. You know, and he's paid. You know, it's just ridiculous. So there's no, like, you know, true care anywhere. I mean, whether it's from medical, whether it's from travel, whether it's from your neighbor, your family, anything. It's just there's no true care anywhere, and that's a sad occasion.
What's bad is they take it, like in management or whatever, they take situations and they do black or white. They don't take in consideration any of the issues, the foundation, the steps to get there. You know, what the person's already done or accomplished or anything. It's just these robotic people that are in management and they have no idea what it's like to lead people or, you know, rally the troops or anything. It's sad.
Everything's like in a virtual world now. It's like, so with like travel, the majority of them are working from home. Even the banks nowadays, customer service is overseas. Everybody's outsourcing all of their customer service reps overseas. You know, I mean, I have overseas call centers, you know, but it's the
right.
all the banks, you try to call individuals and you just can't get anywhere. So when it comes to management, who are they truly managing? It's not like you're seeing the people or rounding the troops and the people are sitting home not really giving two shits about you or your problem or how it's affecting you or your family, your business or anything. And it's sad. You know, they have no business being in customer service, let alone in the management aspect of it.
Right. And me being come from several call center operations and management, I would listen to a call like that and you'd be fired. There's no doubt about it. You'd be fired.
Oh my God, you said fire and it said, I am fire.
So, I mean, I had people that, you know, here's what they're doing. Yeah, we really feel bad about your situation. Like, and think that that's going to cut it for a customer service representative. Or how about the ones that are really sensitive? You're making a collection call and the guy starts getting mad. If you yell at me one more time, I'm hanging up on you. Really, do you think this was a good ship lollipop? And then you go into a barrage of swear words after they say that. So I said, oh my gosh, isn't this customer service in a collection situation? What'd you think we were going to do? At brunch? I could really go on and on about that. I mean,
that's one of the things, though, too, of like, you know, and that's why, like, I'm excited to see that, you know, you're doing short medical specialists as well, too, so you can make a difference and everything else to where, you know, because you know about providing individuals true care. You know what it means to have the call center focusing on true care and not just, you know, just dragging their feet, just making it through a day that, you know, every time somebody's logged on, making a, you know, communicating with a patient that they're providing them true care rather than just, okay, I'm just trying to get you off the phone.
I can attest, I can attest that you care about every single one of those calls and you're listening to them all, making sure that it's done right, making sure they're following all the guidelines, making sure somebody isn't out there just hacking customers for money or filling out the stuff and filling it out false or making comments that aren't real.
Well, it isn't because I care for the people, it's just because I like firing people and I'm looking for an excuse to fire somebody.
Want to be a big mean boss? I get that. That's fun.
No, I take pride in stuff like that. You know, and it's, you know, patient care is always my top priority. And it's not even just patient care; it's everything that I do. You know, every individual that I encounter, I try to make it the best experience. And if I don't care if I meet a stranger down at the grocery store, I want to make it the best experience possible. You know, I mean, it sounds stupid and it sounds childish, but it's the. Do you know how many individuals in the world just gradually walk by somebody and say, oh, hey, Tom, how you doing today? Now, if you just stop and say, hey, I'm glad you asked. I'm having a fucking miserable day. You would be track. You look at, I mean, us as individuals, we look at our watch, act like we had somewhere else to be. You know, we just do it in just passing. It's just, oh, hey, how you doing today? Oh, I'm glad you asked. I'm miserable. And it's like, oh, and you try to beat feet away from it. Anybody has like genuine concern for the next individual, and it's just, it's disgusting, period.
Well, you know what? You start asking me, how you doing? Oh, I'm not doing very good. Okay. Jeez. You know what? We're going to take a long look at that later on, but right now I got to get going. But, you know, I mean, that's the general the way it works.
That's it.
Or I will say, I'll say, how you doing? And the guy doesn't answer me, and I always go, well, kick it around, let me know later. You know, who gets, hey, how you doing? And you don't answer. Okay, kick it out later. Let me know later. Hey, okay, thanks, buddy.
That is 1,000% true right there, man. It's just.
It's so irritating. Or I hold the door open and they just walk through and go, oh, that's right. I'm the doorman.
You see, the politicians doing it. Hey, I'll circle back to that. It's like, well, why don't you answer it now? You know, it's like, I'll circle back to that. It's the same thing. You know, it's like, hey, how you doing? Oh, it's got this going on, but. It's just ignorant, man.
Well, Michael on the office, you know, I told you where to put those in the special file, the trash can.
I told you where to put the calls from corporate.
Didn't I tell you? You told me to throw it away. Oh, no, I meant throw it away on my desk over there so I can get to it later. Well, I think we're about done. So, again, there's many positives for what you're doing and your companies that you started from scratch. I really have a lot of respect for what you
do. And they literally from scratch. I appreciate that.
I really do. I really do, though. I mean, I'm watching it in real time, and it's really complicated to me, but
you'll get it.
Yeah, I'll get it.
I mean, and that's why I'm, you know, just as excited about seeing Sharp Medical Specialists take off, everything that you do, you providing this show just to acknowledge other individuals and, you know, have conversations. Because that's what nobody's doing is having conversation. We can accomplish so many things in life by just having conversation, kind of what I was just talking about, the, hey, how you doing today? And not wanting to have that conversation with somebody.
No, not it's really. Vital. Yeah,
well, it really is vital. And what you do is vital. That's what I appreciate what you do. And I love the fact that you run this show. I love the fact that, you know, you take the time on every social media platform to acknowledge what individuals are stressing about or, you know, even debating with them. That's important. You know, instead of just being the yes man and say, oh, yeah, yeah, I agree with that. You know, it's
I have a very thankful heart. I've had that since I was a little kid. You know, my mom would make me a sandwich and I would thank her like beyond words. And I think we've lost thankfulness in where we are today. And my generation has done a lot to ruin a lot of these things because we thought we were a little picked on. Our parents were a little mean. We weren't getting everything we wanted. So what we did was overdo it, give our kids everything. I mean, we had special days in the year where we got little gifts, Christmas, birthday, and they were great. But you didn't walk in the store with your mom. I like that. Give me that. Give me that. You didn't. That just never even happened.
On the ground, on a tantrum and everything else, kicking your feet.
You didn't even think about asking for those. It didn't even come out of your mouth. It wasn't even like a suggestion. You didn't even. You just walked by it and went, boy, that'd be nice in your mind. That'd be nice to have, but you didn't even think about it.
That's a true story.
Yeah, it is. It's a true story. I mean, I grew up very, very thankful for everything. I mean, overly thankful. So I think people should be the same way and expect the same thing, but it doesn't really work like that, does it? It's weird.
It is a sad case, you know, and it's like, it's hard to look at the aspect where, like, the bitterness that I have, I mean, just the punishment that I went through as a child, how, you know, I was bitter at that time, but how I became thankful for that. Because it truly is a blessing, regardless of what kind of experience that we have in life. I mean, I know it's hard to accept that, but you know, regardless of the experience we have in life, we do have to be able to take that time to be thankful that we can experience it all. You know, and it's just being able to make that transition beyond that is the big hurdle that a lot of individuals aren't able to make. And that's the, you know, part of like what I try to strive to get to other individuals that, hey, look, I know you've had it bad. You know, some have had it worse. I probably had it worse, but, you know, a lot have had it worse than me. And that just keeps us pushing forward where, hey, it doesn't have to be the end for you or the bottom for you. We're in better ways about expressing things.
Well, I know your background, so if somebody had it worse than you, I'd really like to see some people right underneath this show how bad they've had it, because I think you might be in the top couple of all time. But you know what? Maybe if that didn't happen, would you be where you are today? Maybe not.
I wouldn't have written half the poems that I wrote.
Okay.
But no, it's the businesses that I do and everything.
Rappers are waiting for those lyrics, so you can sell those anytime. I think you would make money on those.
100%.
I'm not kidding. I'm being serious.
I just don't have a voice for it. I do it.
We can do that for the next show. I'll rap the lyrics in the next show. So just stay next week. Be prepared for that. That'll be fun.
I'll do the mixing.
And well, thanks for being on the show. Thank you, people, for watching. Make your comments and talk about the show, because it's only going to get better. And appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having
me, Tom. Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.